Morning.
Morning. Good morning.
I was blessed by what was shared about the seasons, and I think if we keep that in light, a lot of the things that happen in life are a lot more, make a lot more sense, and we can see better. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning. We can look into your word. Pray that you would help us to have hearts that are open, that we can learn from you and grow in you. And pray that you would help us to learn how to be bearing with one another in love more. And I just pray that you would be with me as I share, that it could be your words and not mine. Just pray this in Jesus' name. This morning, for a title, I'd like to talk about bearing with one another in love, and then to live out the calling. So if we begin in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 there, verse 1. Says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he hath saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So in verse 1 there we see Paul as a prisoner. He had his life completely surrendered to the call. We see glimpses of Paul's life, especially if we read the book of Acts, and we know that he traveled a lot and he interacted with a lot of people. So I think he knew a lot what it was to be bearing with people in love. And he knew what it was to live out his calling. And he is earnestly entreating us to walk worthy of the call. Know that many are called. But then, how is my life going to answer the call? My life needs to be lived in lowliness. In verse 2, it says, with all lowliness. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. It's others above me we are called to walk in meekness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Seeing the Beatitudes, that one of the Beatitudes is to be meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Back in Ephesians there, verse 2, with long suffering. Long suffering is something that needs to be learned and grown in. Long suffering is part of the calling. If we are to be bearing with one another in love, it's enduring each other in love, being part of walking worthy. So we can talk a lot about how can we walk worthy, and I think if we aren't careful, we don't notice that this is in the same category as lowliness and long suffering, meekness, and forbearing one another in love. If we want unity, it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we want true unity, we have to live and walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We can't be desirous of vainglory. If we see that in our lives, we know that there's too much flesh and says that we need to crucify the flesh and the lusts and the affections thereof. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. True unity does not come through like a dress pattern, through a certain way of presenting just our clothing, or it comes through and as brothers and sisters live in meekness and lowliness and long suffering. Then we can answer God's call and we can be a light to the world around us if we're living that way. In Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50 says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So we see again having peace with each other being so important. The living sacrifice of our lives, anything good that God pours into that, if you look at that as salt, and that's good, we should embrace those things. We are to have salt and we are to have peace one with another. In verse 4, we see there's one body, and in one body there has to be unity. There has to be a working together. Romans 12, verse 5. Says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. There's one body, there's one Spirit. There's one hope of the calling. The only hope in life is living out the calling God has for us. We see it says there's one Lord. There was questions asked, is Christ divided? We see in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? The answer is no. Christ isn't divided. It's one Lord, it's one faith. And then often we ask the question, what is the faith? There's some people that we knew and kind of lost contact with them, but some other people that we knew them a little better. We asked how they're doing, and the question came up, have they left the faith because of some things in their lives? And somebody asked the question, what is the faith? I think if we read in Hebrews chapter 11, if we were to read the whole chapter, we could see pretty well what the faith is. We see one faith in these men and women that caused them to live their lives in a way not persuaded by the evil around them. Verse 24, I'll read Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ. Christ died for us, and that's how we can be forgiven. And if we embrace that, if we choose that rather than the influence of the around us in the world, that's how we can live in faith. In verses 39 and 40 here in Hebrews chapter 11, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We see that God had something special for us. And then in verse 12, verse 2, we see what that is. It's looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus was very forbearing and very forgiving with the people around him. And he had reason to get tired and get discouraged. And yet we see he kept on going all the way to the cross. And we can look to him as an example. Here in verse 5 of Ephesians 4, we see one baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So we are buried by baptism, like Christ being raised. We should live in newness of life. We should live differently and follow Jesus. Verse 6 says, there is one God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. It says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our Father? So we are all created by one God, and we can't treat others wrongly because God created us all. And as we learn to bear with one another in love, we all have the same Father. God is our all, and He can see past, present, and future. In Romans 11, verse 36. Says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." All things are of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." The one God and Father of all is working all things for our good as His children. The things that we experience in life ultimately work together for His good. And if we allow that to, work, it goes even better. We see verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." There is grace for salvation in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is grace for us to be able to live out the calling. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 11. Says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." The Spirit is given to all. Christ knows our calling, and He is giving good gifts. Says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Different ones are given different gifts. Jesus had all the gifts as He was living on this earth, and He used them to help people. And now, as His church, we together have the gifts. If we were to read on, we'd see what the gifts are here and later in the chapter. James 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Here in verse 8, it says, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Speaking of God is speaking of something that happened, and We see it in Psalms chapter 68. In verse 18, it says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." God gives gifts to men. He ascended on high so he could take away our captivity and leave us with the gift of salvation. The Lord God gives gifts to the rebellious also that he might dwell among us. God is forgiving and forbearing with us, and he calls us to do the same for each other. And here in Ephesians 4, going to the end of the chapter here in verse 31, 32, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." So we see there's no room for any bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 16, says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." We are to emulate peace and holiness. Bitterness springs up so easy, but bitterness springs up like a root. Many are ruined by it. We see that wrath is not God's will for us. Anger should not be in our lives. In Proverbs 19:11, says, "The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." God gives us discretion so that we can be slow to anger. It brings glory to pass over mistreatment. But our human nature wants to revenge in evil speaking. But this verse says, "Let evil speaking be put away from you." We are not to have malice in our lives. It says instead, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Our attitude toward each other is to be kind. In Luke 6, verse 35, says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So we see, love enemies, do good, lend. We have a reward in heaven. God shows us kindness. By example, we know the John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God shows us kindness by example. And kindness needs to be going around in the believers. We need to be tender-hearted in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. You see. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. The stony heart is going to be gone. We can be God's people as we have a soft heart towards each other. We can be forgiven as we forgive in Luke 6, verse 36 and 37. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. God has forgiven me so much. It's only when I love Jesus, when the love of Jesus is flowing through me, that I can be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, because we know that it goes against human nature to forgive. It goes against human nature to be kind at times. And so let's be bearing with one another in love so that we can live out the calling that God has for us.
Stand and sing.